Hi, everybody. This is Claire Casey from Digital Romance, and today I'm talking with one of the most fascinating teachers on the Tantra landscape, Lawrence Lanoff. And if you're not sure about Tantra, we're going to get to that. Lawrence is a film director, a photographer, an author, and a deeply enlightened healer and teacher. You're going to feel new, fresh joy and peace just listening to him, I think, today. Thank you, Lawrence, for joining me.
My pleasure. It is really great to be here, I have to say.
Ah, we're glad. I'll tell everybody a little bit more about you. You grew up in the gritty city.
I sure did, yes.
In New York in the 70s. And that's where he says he learned some of the most foundational spiritual lessons of his entire life. And he's been a photographer and a movie director for Playboy magazine, and has also studied, gosh, the list of things you've studied, just, it's amazing. But physics, yoga, spirituality, neuroscience, magic. I loved seeing that in the list. Meditation, psychology, hypnosis, Taoism, and at least a dozen more, I think you have listed on lawrencelanoff.com on your website.
Right.
He even managed to work a doctorate in cognitive studies in there. And what's slowly evolving out of all these experiences and fields of study is a revolutionary new theory of consciousness that helps people understand their deepest feelings about self-worth and sexuality. And you help people unleash the life skills of enlightenment, help them live enriched, authentic lives physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually. So today, we're going to try and tap into some of that. Our topic today is how to make a man sexually addicted to you, which is kind of, that's kind of juicy. Sounds exciting.
Oh, yeah.
So just be warned, we're going to talk about sex. If you're listening to this in the car and the kids are in the back, you may want to just hold it for a good time where you can really dig down in and not worry about who's hearing what. We're going to talk about the good stuff, the real stuff. And most of us don't do this all the time outside of the bedroom. Sometimes we don't even talk about it in the bedroom, which is a whole nother topic, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So, take a deep breath, and let me tell you some of what Lawrence has for us today. Some of what you'll discover is what specifically men most want from a sexual relationship with the woman they love, how to peek into a man's erotic mind and figure out the deepest desires your man has but would never tell you, how you can unlock your sexual self-confidence so that no intimate situation will ever again make you feel totally lost, frightened, or uncertain about how to proceed. We may even get to some very specific sexual techniques for how to get what you really want out of sex every time, and why that's powerful for your man too. I think you're gonna really, really enjoy this. It's gonna be great. I can't wait to hear it myself, actually. But as I promised at the very beginning, before we get started, I need to ask you, because this is new to me too. You talk a lot in your work about Tantra. Tell us what exactly Tantra is, and why do we hear it so often connected with sex? What is tantric sex?
All great and incredible questions. Some of my favorite to answer. So I would say, if I were to give you an overview, and you know, you say tomato, I say tomato. I will more often refer to it as Tantra. But Tantra, Tantra.
All right, down here in the South where I am, we say everything wrong, so.
No, it's all good. That's funny. I thought you were from Japan. So the thing about Tantra is it's really a way for you, as an as an overall philosophy, it's a way to say yes to life.
Ooh.
So that, you know, so let's just say you're having you're having your favorite chocolate cake. And you're like, oh, right. Well, typically there would be an inner monologue about, you know, oh, I should, I shouldn't, this is good, this is bad, I don't know. You know, there's, right, there'd be all this stuff, and all of that stuff would be sucking the pleasure out of the actual experience. So Tantra is learning how to give yourself permission to really fully engage and embody experiences.
Sounds freeing.
Yes, it's extremely freeing. Right. Especially the way I teach it. I have to kind of warn you ahead of time. I'm kind of a Tantra rebel. That would be the best way, because I don't really enjoy systems, and there are limitations to Tantra. But the way I teach it, that freedom that you're speaking about is what I really, that's my intention. And my intention for the listeners who are enjoying this conversation, that, you know, that you have that sense of, oh, okay, that makes sense, which leads us to tantric sex. So tantric sex is a way of saying yes to pleasure, saying yes to your deepest desires, saying yes to experiences that give you permission to have new reference points of pleasure, of peace, of serenity, of security.
That's a big word, isn't it?
It is. It is, because I know from the amazing women that I have in my life how important security is, that feeling of safety and security inside that allows all of that, allows the beautiful flower to unfold. And that's what, in an idealized world, that's what tantric sex is really about. You know, experiencing vast amounts of pleasure that go beyond the norms of your experience, and all of us can make more room for more pleasure.
Hmm. Well, okay, men and women have such different approaches to sex. And there are days when I wonder if we will ever be able to meet each other's needs in a way that is consistently fulfilling and pleasurable and beautiful. Talk for a minute about why this is so important for us to hear, for all of us to be talking about.
Perfect. Let's start, you know, let's talk about why this is important. I'm curious, like, how many listeners have ever had the feeling that they're missing out on something in life?
Mm.
You know, there's that inner sense like, oh, life is passing me by. You know, there's feelings, I don't know about you, but there are times when you look around and you go, oh, that person's living the life, but I'm not, right? And there's even probably some woman right now who you look at and go, ah, that's what I would like to be, because there's something about her that's powerfully expressing, that's authentically expressing. So, you know, you've seen that woman who's comfortable in her body, no matter what size she is, no matter how hot she is, she just comfortable. And you know, people flock to her, men flock to her. So the question really I would suggest that you're asked during this call is really, what does what we are talking about mean to you? That's the issue here. Why is it important? Because it literally affects every aspect of connection, intimacy, safety, security, love, trust, and hot, juicy, passionate sex.
That sounds like a great, I mean, you've painted a really beautiful picture. What are the handholds? How do you, I mean, you describe it and I say yes. And I talk about it a lot in Capture His Heart, mm-hmm. about what sets those women apart, the ones you just described so beautifully, the women who are, they may not even be you know, traditionally, you know, sexy or hot in the way, you know, they may not be the ones hired by the supermodel supermodel agencies or what have you. And yet there is something about them that is magnetic in a powerful way. And guys love to be in that field of energy around them.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So we talk about that a lot, but in Capture His Heart, but I would love to hear your unique perspective. How do you get a handhold on becoming that kind of woman? What are some of the practical pieces of becoming that?
Wow, there are so many. There are so many because it's, think about it like this. It's the most important piece is the paradigm shift of, oh boy, how do I say this? I'm going to go deeper in this. This is my Tantra rebel side. So understand I'm going to say this and then we'll go a lot deeper, okay. which is self-acceptance, right? But I'm not using it in a new agey sense. That's why I want to go deeper. I'm not being like, oh, just love yourself and then everything will be fine. It's not that, right? Because that'll work for a little while until things get sticky and rough and there are difficult conversations to have. So we have to go a level deeper, right? And we have to say, okay, how can I come from a place of self-acceptance in such a way that I begin to tap into my feeling of wholeness as a human being, as a woman, and feel complete and get that flow of well-being and safety and security happening in my body. Because once we hit our flow, and specifically our flow of sexual power, which has to do with our self-confidence and comfort and relaxation, then our friends around us begin to go like, wow, you've changed. Wow, you know, you look amazing. What are you doing differently? Did you change your hair? Right? What they're seeing is a change in the ways in which we are actually communicating and relating to ourselves. So there's gold locked up in female sexuality. There's gold. It is the treasure troves of power are beyond anything I could even speak of. So one of the first steps is saying, you know, beginning this turn of like, no, I am going to accept myself, because women specifically have been, you know, sold a bunch of lies about what it is to be a woman.
Like you have to weigh this and you have to have your hair like this and you have exactly. to have the career and the family and the clean house and the, oh my gosh.
That's exactly right. And it makes it to the point where it literally creates a kind of inner schizophrenia, which I'm sure your listeners are familiar with, because if you're a woman alive in America today, in the world, but specifically America, there's an internal conflict that is extremely powerful, and that is blocking your power. That's what's preventing you from being in that full, juicy, empowered female self. And the messages, they're not, you know, I wish we were having a discussion that was just kind of like a simple discussion. There really are so many forces suppressing female sexuality specifically, and therefore your well-being, because that, you know, the women that we're talking about, there is a certain comfort about them just being like, oh yeah, I am a sexual creature and I am okay with that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the first thing is really asking yourself, what is it that you're most afraid of about being in touch with your deepest power and your deepest freedom? You know, what is it that terrifies you about that? Because that is a place to start to get a handle on this, you know, because the reality is there's some part of you inside that's going like, oh my, if I start to open that door, what's going to happen?
So how do you, and I know you coach women through a lot of this.
Oh,
you
yeah.
can see on some of the products on your site that's a lot of what you have done. So if you're asking yourself what you're afraid, if you're a woman saying, what am I afraid of? And you can name some things, what do you do with that then?
Well, first of all, the beautiful thing about naming things and writing them down is you take them out of the realm of thought. Because the realm of thought is a very strange thing when things sit in your mind. You know, I know you've had that experience, right? You go to bed and there's all this stuff going on in your mind and you're like, how do I sort this out, right? And it can cause us stress and lack of sleep and certainly lack of pleasure and lack of sexual desire because we just are carrying like this bucket full of, you know, eels in our brain that are just going blah. And that is really where the problem is. So the first step is like, okay, I'm having this sensation, and I'll call this these are tools of meditation and focus that become really powerful to use, where you say, okay, I'm having this feeling. What does this feeling feel like? You could do it right now. You could just be, you know, your body, even as you're listening right now, is having a sensation. So what is it about that sensation? What are you feeling? And you can really focus in on what that name is. So if you were to do that in this, like right now, I take a deep breath. And I'm feeling, I'm actually, it's interesting. The dominant feeling I'm feeling is excitement. Yeah. So that has a sensation in my body. It's exciting. Because my intention in this call is to turn on some switches that, you know, to just have you think a little bit differently about the way, you know, the way you have been thinking perhaps about your body or your desires. And that has a sensation with it, in this case, excitement, right? But there are lots of stories going on. If we bring up the issue of sexuality, you might go like, oh, wow, well, what I'm really feeling, you know, yes, I'm feeling some attraction or some desire, but what I'm really feeling is fear.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, okay. You know, and then that can go, as you know, I mean, it can go in 50 different directions. I'm feeling, you know, fat. I'm feeling not sexy. I'm feeling, you know, I'm feeling like scared. So part of it is learning to get more of a language about the feelings and things that are going on inside of you. So when you take those out, you know, simple exercises like just write it down.
Mm-hmm.
What are the, you know, what's swimming around in there? Grab one of those eels and say, oh, what's your name? And it's like, I am too much cake. Ah, okay. Right. So
I like that image, by the way, of the bucket of eels. That's so accurate. That's so on target for that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it is. I mean, that's how it feels to me sometimes. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, and they just go crazy. It's like a feeding frenzy.
So you get them out, you name them, you describe how they make you feel, and that gives you a sense of accomplishment or power over, so it's not driving you. Now you get to drive it.
Exactly, because once you name the monster, it's not nearly as scary. I mean, you know, there are some monsters which will still take some work, but a lot of them you look at and you go, oh, I'm afraid of that, really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you turn the light on, and that's why I like writing things down. Like, you can actually just write, you know, list it out. What is it? Really, what is it? Now, here's the only caveat to that. It takes a lot of courage to face the last three or four eels in the bucket, right? Those are the ones that are the scary things that are like, oh my. If I allow myself to feel pleasure, that means I'm being selfish.
Ooh, is that really at the bottom?
That's one of them.
Wow, selfishness. And women are raised to be such caregivers, other focused, do for folks, you know, until there's nothing left, frankly.
Exactly. That's right. So you can imagine, so here you are with kind of a desire or, you know, something. I mean, how many people go, oh, you know what? I'm going to put off dinner. I am going to have a little self-pleasure ritual. I'll be right there. I'll be there in like, you know, half an hour. You guys just work it out. And I'm just, mommy's going to have some self-pleasure. I'll be back with you, right? Who does that?
Nobody.
Right. But yet, at the same time, if mommy did do that, mommy would be a lot happier about the next steps of the day or the night.
Yeah.
Right. So we just don't do that. And I'm just saying, you know, it's, we have a belief system that, that pleasure is bad. You know, that, that pleasure is selfish. When in my experience, and of course with the women that I teach, you start to realize like that is just a load of hooey.
You just gave me like a bunch of ideas all of a sudden. I'm like, I need to call my man into the bedroom for a few minutes before we have to go take the kids to the concert, the band concert, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's sort of a fun, that's a smiley thing to say, hey, come on.
Oh, yeah.
What about us?
Let's
work on us. Well, I like that, and I love the control over those slimy old eels, and I appreciate the thought of, you know, get to the last one. The last ones are the hardest because you put those off. You don't want to look. You want to look at the ones that are a little easier.
Exactly. And by the way, just riffing on the thing that you're talking about, I mean, those things are so bonding. Where like the kids are getting ready, you know, you've got like, you know, 5 or 10 minutes, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, it's a little bit conspiratorial.
Yeah.
Right. So you guys are like, there's a bonding opportunity there where you guys are conspiring together to have just little, you know, get a little time.
Yeah.
It's that important. It really is that important. And, you know, think of it as like filling another metaphor, but filling the gas tank, like filling your tank. What do you need? So this is a core question that you can write down as you're listening to this, which is, what is it? This is another one of those scary questions. What is it that I need? What are my needs?
That's a great question.
It's a great question. And women specifically, because of what you said, you know, it's like, oh no, I need to shunt my needs aside and take care of everybody else's needs. But we all know, I guarantee you, there are women listening to this call right now who are like, oh my God, you are talking about my life. Right. Because it's like you put stuff aside, you know, everybody else comes first, you put your needs, and then one day
you crash.
Exactly.
Yep.
You know, and then everybody's like, what's wrong? All I said was,
yeah,
I love you. And you burst into tears and ran away. And, you know,
yeah,
because, well,
or it looks uglier because you say, I can't stay in this relationship anymore.
Exactly.
I hate my marriage or my relationships and my everything. I mean, you say horrible things that you never want to say.
Right.
I want to leave it all. I'm out of here, you know, kind of thing.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, Claire. The thing there is, the reality is if you're in a relationship, you will have those moments.
Right.
Okay. So we're not saying, like, even if you were just, blah, I'm totally blissed out. The reality is, if you are engaged in a human relationship, you will encounter those things. The question is what do you do with that energy? That's part of getting comfortable in your skin. Like when those things come up, do you realize like, oh yeah, I'm going through a thing. I am moving through something and therefore I'm not going to take it too personally.
Hmm.
Right? So that's a framework. That's like a framework for life where we go through these, I call these kind of like emotional storms. There are like emotional hurricanes that'll come in and everything looks bad when you're looking at life through that hurricane. But when you can just kind of go like, oh yeah, I am having a hurricane, this is a natural part of relationship.
Mm-hmm. Because unavoidable.
Unavoidable. Therefore, oh, I know what to do. I'll do what Ulysses did. I will tie myself to the mast. So I don't do anything rash, but I can kind of watch the storm and know that I'm going to come out the other side.
Very powerful. So that's a good thing to note if you're like he said, if you are writing down stuff and you're writing down that core question, what is it I need, which is a huge question, it's good to also make a little note under there saying, you know, how will I handle the emotional hurricanes that are bound to arise in any relationship?
Exactly.
What will my mindset be? What will I need to get through it? And how can I start making sure I'm there now for when it hits later?
Right. And part of it is getting your needs met. It's like learning to open up that discussion.
Yeah. And, you know, needs is a big word and there are lots of them, but we want to talk about sex. And I love the fact that we're doing this because I feel like sex, your sexual relationship, your intimate relationship with your partner is the key indicator of how well things are going in that relationship.
Absolutely.
It's like if something is off, you can almost always tell because your intimacy levels are going to be off. Your sexual relationship is going to be off.
Right.
So maybe you can get us started, and maybe you can start from the man's side. You've got a unique perspective to give all of us. Most of the listeners are going to be female, not all, but a lot of us are women. What specifically, you know, is the man's perspective on this? What do they want from a sexual relationship with a woman they love, and how can the two meet?
Wow. Okay. So what's interesting about that is, you know, men want this kind of sense. Let me just see how the best way to describe this. It's kind of like this sense of absolute release and freedom, where it kind of reminds me of if for a moment a man could experience free fall around sexuality, that's kind of an ideal world where it's almost like the self drops away. It's just that for men, that happens in like 3 seconds, you know, in an orgasm. And so, right. So they're very focused on this, like, you know, it's basically like women play a symphony and men have only learned how to play one note. So women are like, I dream, you know, la, 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 la. There's all this stuff going on and there's, you know, horns and strings and all this whole orchestra is playing of sensuality and orgasm. And guys are like, ding, 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 right? They're just coming in with the one note, ding, 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 because they don't know. Right, they don't know. They just want I just want to have that feeling of jumping off the cliff, and the only way I know how to do that is,
yeah.
Right. So you know that because I mean, if you've been alive and you've had sex with a man, you know that experience. That's the bunny rabbit experience. Uh-huh. Right. So it's a strange thing because it's really something that, you know, guys don't know. Because what are they looking at? You know, if you really follow the lineage of how all humans, especially American humans, are trained into sexuality, here's what it looks like. Some little boys talk to other little boys. Oh, this is what you do. And blah, blah, blah. And oh, I want to see naked girls. And oh, and they're having all these sensations, right? And then where are they going to go? They're going to talk to other little boys. They're going to overhear conversations. They're going to read some stuff or they're going to look at porn. Mm-hmm. That is going to inform male sexuality. So then little boys who are informed by these things, other little boys, some random adult conversations or something they heard or saw on TV or on the internet and or porn, then goes and gives a girl her first sexual experience.
Doesn't sound like it's going to turn out well.
Exactly. So now a little girl has this as her reference point. Right. Basically, she just got played one note while it certainly in just the physicality, just her physiology is different. And her physiology is more of this symphony. Yet she just got one note played and she's like, what? what just happened, right? And so this kind of snowball effect of just nobody openly discussing sex, not really having good, cogent, significant material, not having communication tools, leads us in this very strange kind of null zone regarding sexuality, which means, like, you know, most couples are having sex once a week, if they're lucky, you know, once a month. It's like the norms of sexuality are just bizarre because they've been trained in this way. So men are looking for this, like, experience of, like, I want to jump off the cliff, which lasts 2 to 3 seconds. But they don't realize, which is part of why I teach men. I started teaching men for this reason, because I'm like, dude, there is so much space between here and there of pleasure. Because for men, we have bodies. There's a symphony of pleasure going on too. It's just nobody knows.
Do you think guys are all penis-centered? Like, it's all about the penis?
Of course. What else is there?
Well,
from his, you know, I have a penis. It feels good on one tiny spot. I need to rub that spot until it feels right. And that's it. Now, of course, they can learn, but good sex does not fall off the truck.
Mm-mm.
So for the ladies listening to this, I just want to say, you know, if you're feeling shut down sexually, it is not all your fault. You know, a lot of times it's like, oh, well, you don't know how to orgasm, or you can't let go. Well, you know, I come back to the guys and I say, did you create a safe enough space for her to let go?
Well, now you bring up something interesting, and we touched on this just briefly before, the thing about creating a safe space. That's a little bit different from the single note versus the orchestra, because I think the two are connected very strongly, but absolutely, they are also very separate.
Yes.
In a lot of ways. So maybe talk about the intersection of those things and how, you know, maybe we can figure out a way to come back around to how women can help the men that they love.
Exactly. Now we're talking. So now you see, I mean, this discussion shows you exactly what it is. It's in essence, it's a spider web. You cannot pull on one thing without it affecting the whole of the other.
Mm.
And that's the thing. These things wind together. So a man may have one note, but a woman can say, you know what? One note is not acceptable to me, in a polite way. You don't want to say that, like, what? You know, you can't talk. Like, that's the thing. We have to learn a skill of communication, but a woman also needs to learn what is it that turns her on.
Yeah.
Right? So if she doesn't know what turns her on, which she may not, because, again, the most feared compressed thing is female sexuality. So these questions become like you want to try to answer them, but then it's you got 50 things that are roadblocks to you experiencing pleasure. So a lot of the work that I feel, the deep, deep, deep spiritual work where spirituality intersects sexuality, is starting to clear those frameworks that are keeping you from your pleasure. Part of what's keeping you from your pleasure is your ability to communicate your sexual needs. I want to be touched in this way, right? And I'm going to communicate it in a way so I'm not a teacher. You know, nobody wants a mom teaching. You know, you don't want to be in those dynamics. You want to be in the dynamic of I am a lover. I am a sexual woman. I am an orchestra. And I'm going to show you how to play other instruments other than your little one note Casio, which is just like ding, ding, ding. Right? Because I want to experience more. See, that's the thing. You have to value. This is where we started. You have to value you. And say, no, I want something more because you deserve more.
Yeah.
Why do you deserve more? Because.
And because it's such a foundational gift. Our sexuality is so enormously huge in our lives, and we squeeze it into this eensy-weensy, boring little box when it should be allowed to be enormous and intersecting with so many other parts of our lives. So, yeah, I hear you loud and strong saying, learn what gives you pleasure, saying to women, learn what gives you pleasure so that you can invite men to give you pleasure, because it's
yes.
going to give him pleasure too, I believe.
Yes. Now, so, I'm gonna tell you a secret about this.
Oh, good.
Okay. You've got the secret sauce right there. If you know your pleasure and you can invite him into the workings of that pleasure, and he can bring you to the depth of orgasm that makes you scream and makes your body shiver and makes you orgasm so hard that you weep, that is addictive to men.
Oh, did we just get to it finally? Like some heart of the matter. I think you just did.
Yes. That is how it works. It is, that's why you'll see everything wheels on itself. This is not just about you being selfish. In fact, with the women I work with, I want you to be selfish. Selfish is a beautiful word, because selfish means you are learning about you. This is a beautiful thing.
Okay, let me throw a wrench in.
Okay.
What if you have this knowledge and you're learning as a woman what turns you on, what arouses you, what makes you hot, and you invite your man into this and you don't get the kind of, I mean, you get a let's just do it, baby, kind of response.
Okay, here's my response to that, Claire. This is an easy one. If I told you that $1 million was at stake, you would figure it out, right? It's not enough to just go like, oh, I taught him and he didn't listen. Of course, people are resistant. Guys are, you know, they can be arrogant and be like, no, I know everything. That's not a good enough answer. You have to, you know, now here's the thing. You have to, you want to, it's so important that you want to do it until he starts to understand, right? So at first, of course, you're changing the train. You're like, we've always done it this way. I always hump you like a rabbit. And what you want me to play strings? You know, I mean, he's not going to know what to do because you're changing the conversation. But here's the thing. If you change the conversation in the right ways at the right time, he'll be open to it, because, you know, you don't understand what it is to a guy's confidence to make their woman orgasm. Mm. It's like the greatest feeling in the world. It's like, oh, my girl came 6 times today. And I'm just like, woo, I am king of the world, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Right? It's an awesome feeling, you know, and it's a bonding feeling. It's an intimate feeling. So that's why teaching, and really, you know, it's not one discussion, as you can imagine. Who learns anything one time except not to touch a hot stove?
Right.
Right. You know, you go like, oh, okay, good. This is a learning process. So.
Well, I like hearing that. I think it's a good word to say. You keep inviting a man in. You keep encouraging and showing and demonstrating, and it becomes its own reward. The better your sex is, the more you want to have better sex.
Exactly. That you hit on it. Like, I couldn't say it any better. So I will say it again, right? The more you have incredible sex, the more you realize that you can have incredible sex, which means you want more incredible sex. And typically, that's where people enter the conversation of Tantra. That's how they get it. They get to it because they go like, oh, you know, maybe he's having ED problems, or maybe, you know, she's feeling inorgasmic. And at some point as a team, people get together and go, no, I want to change this. Because at some point you start to realize that the hourglass is running out of time. And it's like, if not now, when? Like, when are you going to do this? When are you going to learn about your pleasure? When are you going to cut the BS and get down to, you deserve to feel good in your body? You deserve to feel massive amounts of pleasure. But if you don't have that as a reference point, then what I'm talking about sounds like rainbow unicorns.
Yeah.
Right? But that's why there are people like me who can actually give you an experience, and they're out there. There are lots of people out there that can help you set new reference points for what's possible. And then you go, oh, like the macaroni and cheese is good if you don't know that there's anything else in the world, like anything else, you know?
Like lobster.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But once you taste lobster, you now have a reference point, right? And so when somebody's trying to throw macaroni and cheese at you, you're like, you know what? That's all good, but I am interested in some lobster here. Yeah.
Okay, we've been talking about women. And yes. We've been talking about how women can learn what turns them on sexually, what absolutely, you know, revs their sexual engines, what makes them feel good and have successful sexual experiences with men. Can you talk to us some about guys? Because women know that guys are driven all the time with the movies that play in their heads. And you've even worked for Playboy. You know very well how to even stoke those fantasies, those fantasies are about, what the substance of those fantasies are. And I think that it's scary for some women to think, oh my gosh, the stuff he thinks about is way overwhelming. And I think even guys sometimes say, oh my gosh, if she knew how much I thought about sex, who I want to have sex with, you know, because guys, I think a lot of times they want to have sex with you, but they also, it comes through their head when they're talking to the chick at the counter and your sister and the teenager next door and all kinds of people and places and stuff. So how can a woman discover the good, powerful, erotic desires that a man has without feeling overwhelmed, or that she has to do all that? You know, he wants to have sex with 17 women at once, and she's like, oh, wait a minute.
That's really fun, by the way. But, but let's get back to business here. No, I think the thing is you have to make a distinction here. Okay. There's a distinction between sexuality and eroticism.
Mm.
So as far as I'm concerned, I never look at sexuality through moral framework. I just don't, because it's never helpful in counseling people, because they are already feeling ashamed for their desires. So, you know, and your man is as well, right? Because we're men. I mean, you trust me on this. He is fantasizing about something that if he knew you knew, he would be horrified.
Yeah.
That's just how it is, right? And what that tells you, because that is the norm, it tells you that that's the norm, you know? Like, that's kind of how we're wired. So if you kind of roll with it, and instead of going like, oh, that's really icky and weird and I don't know how I feel about it, and you just kind of say, okay, it's just what is, right? He may or may not open up to you about it, but you can certainly start to open up his erotic mind. And that opening of that erotic mind is understanding that there is a difference between, I want to have sex with 17 women, and let's organize having sex with 17 women. Let's get that together. Okay. But I mean, really think about the mechanics of that. It's like, It's any fantasy that you choose to turn into a reality is going to have mechanics involved. It doesn't matter what it is, right? But in your mind, you can do any and all of that. So it's making the distinction between physical sexuality and the erotic mind, and stimulating the erotic mind. I mean, come on. That is not just a male thing. That is a female thing. If I don't stimulate my woman's erotic mind, how is she going to relax an orgasm? Like, mm-hmm. an orgasm is just a physical piece of, you know, this moves that. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, it can be friction. But what is it that turns it into an erotic tantric experience is when you start to put all of these things in place. So the way to get around the feeling of overwhelm, like, oh, he wants to do that and that and that, is to forget about thinking about doing it. Like, take doing it in three-dimensional reality off the table and learn to stimulate his erotic mind. And now we're, you know, let's just say he's into, I don't know, you know, hot green leprechauns, you know, like if you stimulate and you roll with that and he's making love to you and you're like, oh man, you know, it turns me on when I think about you with these leprechauns, you know, these hot female leprechauns, like, wow. And he could be like, oh yeah. Right now we're engaged in a physical action with an erotic intelligence to it. And suddenly this entire realm of sexuality, this storehouse that he's been hiding, can start to come out, and he can share that with you. And now you want another piece of addiction? Now you are becoming a source of stimulation and safety for his erotic mind, where he begins to feel like, yeah, well, I can talk about that, you know, because my woman is like so cool that she, because he may not even be making that distinction that there's eroticism versus physical sexuality. But once you start to make that distinction, it's like, oh, a whole universe opens up. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it absolutely does. Yeah, you become a woman who can accept a man's erotic, you know, fantasies, and who can even fuel them.
Exactly.
Becomes a source of, it becomes somebody he's just like not going to let go, because those kind of women aren't just hanging out, you know, outside the drugstore.
Exactly.
They are very, very much to be treasured and held onto.
Exactly. Exactly. What a safe space where you can share your deepest sexual desires and actually have them fueled. Like, wow. You know, sign me up, right?
Yeah. So, well, but how do you find out what those are?
Well, you have to really, that's where it's really essential to let go of judgment. And this would be true, you know, this is true for everybody, but specifically for him. If he says, you know, let's say you say, okay, well, what do you think? What's your deepest desire? You know, share with me some naughty desire that you have. Mm-hmm. And he goes, oh, I'd love to have a threesome with your sister and you know, and you're just like, oh, gross. How can you, that's disgusting. Like, what, my sister? I mean, right. Because you're missing the point. You're thinking about it in the realm of actual reality. That's the mistake. If you understand that he is sharing a fantasy in the realm of eroticism, in the realm of erotic thought, mm-hmm. you can go, oh, interesting. Okay, well, what would that look like? Right? Mm-hmm. So he lobbed the ball over the net, and you just kind of gently hit it back to him and said, huh. Oh, I kind of like that. Well, you know, tell me more. So now he's feeling that sense of like, oh, okay, well, that was safe. I put my little paw out and it didn't get smacked. So now he's like, oh, cool. Okay. So you begin to stoke the fires by essentially saying yes and realizing that, you know, it's kind of a moving into the realm of self-acceptance and accepting of him and understanding that erotic thoughts are beautiful things, whatever they are, because they're thoughts. And if we were able to just make that distinction and welcome eroticism and thinking, then, you know, then the energy flows. And when the energy flows, things feel good. The problem, the pain that you're having, you know, that everybody we have is where we feel stuck. That feels terrible. But once it flows, it's like, ah, right? And we, and let's tie this back to like jumping off the cliff. The guy is looking to jump off the cliff and feel that moment of flow. Well, that's what stimulating his erotic mind does.
I liked that you used sort of the volleyball analogy, a sense of playfulness and play in there. But let's also like consider what happens if he lobs a little shot out there and you really are, that's sort of out of bounds for you. You're like, no, that doesn't work for me. Maybe it's it touches on some of your own baggage or your own past. What do you do with those when those, you know, careful shots turn in, they touch on something dark and frightening for you, and you're like, look, this is not the time or the place for me to figure that out. That's off out of bounds for me. That's off.
Right. Well, that's the realm of communication, right? So you're entitled to take care of yourself. That has to do with needs. So you're encouraging him to, you know, speak about something, and he goes, you know, he says something that triggers some deep emotional past. Take care of yourself and just say, hey, you know, I really appreciate you sharing. That is just, woo, that is way over my head right now. Mm-hmm. Can we start with something a little more, you know, let's take something else.
Yeah.
Like, you have a voice, you can use it. You're entitled, you know, like that's the beautiful thing about this. If you keep it like a playful thing, let's go, you know, let's just use the analogy of volleyball. If I'm getting aced every single time I step up to the net, I'm not going to step up to the net.
Right.
Right. So I might say, hey, that was cool, but that is way over my head. Can we try something that's a little more of a lob? Like, I don't know. You want to kiss my feet or something. Let's start with that. You know, like it doesn't matter. What matters is you're opening the discussion. You're starting communication. And that's the big C word. In relationship, that's part of being, you know, creating that addiction and attraction is being able to have deep, vulnerable communications in non-volatile ways. So if he stimulates that, you know, he says something and you're just like, ah, that's really frightening. You can share that. You can say, wow, that's really scary to me. I'm not even sure why. Let's try something else. Well, now you included him in the process. Whereas if you said, oh, I can't believe you said that, and boom, you just go into reactivity, you just closed a door that will be a lot harder to open the next time.
Hmm. Point well made. And another reason to just revisit the fact that we started this whole conversation today. You started us out by saying, you know your own needs and your own fears.
That's right.
Specifically with regard to sex, even.
Yeah.
What are the things that you most love and that most arouse you, and what are the things that you're not ready to open the door on and take, or even take out and look at or deal with right now? Where are those points inside yourself too?
That's right. Yeah. And the beautiful thing is by engaging in this internal dialogue with yourself and writing about it, and, you know, again, take care of your needs. I mean, you may need to write in a secret journal, or you may need to know 100% that nobody will have access to that, or have a passcoded account, you know, someplace where you can articulate these things, but maybe keep them super private. Like, you're entitled to privacy. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing. Like, frankly, I don't think you want to know every single thing that's going on in his erotic mind. And I frankly don't think he should know every single thing that's going on in your erotic mind. Like, it's okay to have some parts of the conversation that are just private for you. Mm-hmm. And that helps create safety. You may slowly take those out and go, wow, I'm feeling so safe and comfortable. I'm ready to go for eel number three, you know, one of the last three eels, but you got to work up to that.
Right. Okay, we're coming closer to the end of our conversation, and I got to get it out there. Because you have delivered on our promises here, this notion of getting him, you know, just utterly addicted to you by giving, well, by knowing yourself and by giving him permission to engage in a deep and fulfilling and playful sexuality with you. That doesn't even really put it into good words. I don't think it doesn't really put the power on it that you've led us through. But I want to be sure to get to this last good one, which is, how can a woman get what she wants out of sex every single time?
Ooh. Wow. Yeah. Well, you really hit on it. You want to get what you want out of sex every single time?
Yeah.
Learn what you love and communicate about that. No mind reading. He loves me. He should read my mind. No. He loves you. You have a mouth. Communicate, right? So, like, really be clear. I want you to touch me here gently and slowly. In fact, I'm going to use some words. Okay, touch a little bit faster. Okay, that's good. Just do that. Let me relax into that. Be clear about what your needs and desires and wants are and communicate about that. Right now, if you are with somebody who is not willing to go there with you, that's an entirely different discussion outside of the bounds of this call. If you want awesome sex, you need to know your own body. And you've got to start there. You have to know, I like this. I want this. I'm going to communicate about this. Is it scary for you to communicate about your pleasure? Sure. But still, what do you want? That comes to our original question. What do you want? Do you want to spend your life kind of wishing that you were that woman who is free and open? Or do you want to become that woman who is like, no, I know my body. I'm comfortable and I'm going to communicate about that. So how do you get what you want out of sex every time? Communication, skills drills, play, have fun, even do like an exploration lab, have an evening where you go, okay, this is just going to be about playing and experimenting. We're not trying to get anywhere. I want you to try touching me in this way. Let's try these. Let's play with some toys, you know, like make it fun.
I love that. And I love the sense of power that it puts in women's hands. I'll tell you this funny story, and it goes back to what we said before about great sex makes you want to have more great sex. My girlfriend was in a situation where her man was facing a really awful thing he had to go through. And it was just like, he dreaded it. They both dreaded it. It was going to alter their whole lives. And she wanted to like really capture this time that they had before he had to face this surgery, this scary, you know, thing. Yep. And so she told him, and I cannot tell you how amazed I was when I heard her describe it to me. She said, I decided I was going to give him a blowjob every day until, and this was like, we had months. Right. She said, I'm going to give him a blowjob every single day until we get to this procedure. And I was like, what? What? And she said, yeah, I just want to give him that. And I thought, holy cow, their lives are about to take an enormous turn. And she did it. And I cannot tell you what joy those two crazy people got out of. And it turned out that it didn't really necessarily look exactly like that, because just giving him this sexual gift, this gift of, I want to give you pleasure and you love this.
Yeah.
It turned into an enormous celebration of their love for each other, their sexuality, and it spread to others of us, because girlfriends tell all this stuff. I mean, we tell it. Yeah. And of course, the first thing I had to do was go say to my husband, do you know what she did for him? And he was like, holy cow. And of course, now we have our own little sexual reawakening.
Right.
Because there's so much joy in that. And I hope all of the Capture His Heart people and all of the people who know and have experienced Lawrence Lanoff and all the services and products that you deliver to people, I hope you hear this, that it's worth investing in, because it really, really causes you to wake up in the morning and celebrate life regardless of how dreary or cold or nasty it is outside or what you're facing.
That's right.
That foundation with another person is so powerful and so, it's communicable, isn't it?
Oh, definitely.
It,
oh my God.
Spreads.
Yes.
It just builds on itself. And yes. I hope you hear that and get a little bit of that joy and that juice for yourself, because it's just such a good thing for every woman and man to have. I just, that blowjob a day thing.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you another little quick secret before we run here.
Okay.
You can ask for a blowjob from him. In other words, you can also have all the oral pleasure you desire. Like, you could have a thing where you go, like, it's okay for you to go, I want that.
Yep.
You know, like, it's, that's the beauty of this thing. Like, what do you want? What would make your heart sing? Mm-hmm. And you just go like, ah, I'm alive, you know, and like, you deserve that. You deserve to have your pleasure.
Amen to that. That's awesome. Yeah. And, you know, that was true of us too. She thought she was going to be doing sex, you know, I'm putting that in quote marks, doing something for him, but it definitely did not turn out that way.
Well, of course not. Of course, because once you get that flow flowing, of course you want to reciprocate. You want to share the love. That's the beauty.
Yeah. So. Well, all right. We're going long, but I don't care. Do you have any secret techniques that you want to share with us?
Of course. I love secret techniques. Here's one that I will call this the When Harry Met Sally technique, which is learn to use your voice. If you want to increase the emotional intensity of sexuality, learn to let yourself vocalize. Female orgasmic vocalization is crucial for great sex, right? So even if that means that you have to kind of put a pillow, you know, like, because I know some of the situations we're right on top of our neighbors or, you know, kids, but the bottom line is make sure you give yourself some time to vocalize, to be able to use your sound so that you can be like, ah, yes, pleasure. Because that, it turns out that female vocalization, orgasmic vocalization, stimulates powerful places in deep inside his brain. And that's one of the reasons why you see, you know, it's silly, it's absurd, but you see, like, porn stars will be like, bah, you know, oh my God. And they're just making it so over the top because they get that the importance of that mechanism. And what it really is you study Tantra and things like where you have a deeper spiritual sexuality, you can learn to bring your authentic voice out. And that is a secret because it stimulates his mind in ways that I can't even explain. It makes great things happen. So these are my two, you know, these it's simple, right? It seems like, what, you know, making more noise? Yes, make more noise. Definitely. And the other secret is, again, I'm just going to reiterate, we sort of brought this out, but I want to highlight this, which is teach him the secrets of your deepest pleasure. And he will always be addicted to you. Because for men, it is such a beautiful thing to watch his woman orgasm and to participate in that. It's like, it is such a powerful expression. It makes him feel better. You feel better. You're getting more of what you want. It's all good all the way around. Right? And of course, learn. like, that's the fun thing. Learn. I have a friend of mine who is in a long-term relationship, and she was like, can you teach me a little bit? I just want to know how to give a better blowjob. Well, guess what? You can learn those things. You know, you can learn techniques. So study, like, make sexuality part of your learning. That's one of the reasons. That's one of the things I'm teaching men, you know, because they're like, oh, well, so many of them just think like, oh, I know it all. Well, you know what? You don't. And even if you did, like, I'm learning things all the time. I learned something yesterday. You know, like, it's like you can learn, and learning is beautiful. And that really is a framework that's one of my secret techniques. I mean, as silly as it sounds, learn things, like, learn about sex. There's a universe out there of pleasure, and you are entitled to learn things, like, to say, you know, I want to really study blowjobs. Mm-hmm. I want to know, like, what turns you on, and have those discussions, because guess what? He knows. And you ask any man in the world, any man, if he's being honest with you, he will tell you what his favorite blowjob was.
Mm-hmm. That'd be kind of a fun story, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Like, oh, just yeah. A fun sexual encounter with your man is to ask him about the best blowjob.
Yeah.
He could ever get. What would it be like?
That's right.
You know, that would be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the notion of learn, but I want to also, like, inject a caveat there and say, don't learn your stuff from watching traditional porn.
Ladies. Oh no, definitely. Yeah, definitely. No.
That's just it's something, it's geared for a whole different, it's not geared for that.
Well, let's talk about porn real quick. Porn is not for the performer's pleasure, it's for the viewer's pleasure. So what you're seeing is not what feels good. Mm. And I know this because I have actually, you know, I have had some clients who have been in the porn industry, female clients specifically. And, you know, they're shocked, and I'm shocked, right? I'm always shocked. Like when somebody who's like that, their business is that, and they cry because they haven't ever had this kind of experience before. So understand that, you know, definitely, like, that's not the place to learn. You know, you want to learn. There are excellent books out there and excellent resources to learn specifics, and also just ask, like, you know, just ask, like you said, like, what would be the ideal, you know, the ideal blow, like, what would make you just go crazy with desire? And if he's willing to go there and feel safe, he'll tell you.
Awesome. And you have to be able to do the same for him.
Absolutely.
Here's the kind of oral sex that would just do it for me every time.
Exactly.
Or the kind of, I don't know, touching, massage,
exactly,
positions, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, being able to invite him to give that to you, to share that.
Oh, yeah. It's such a beautiful thing, Claire. It's such a beautiful thing when you can share the deepest sexual intimacies with your partners. It's like, oh, the world is a better place. And you see it. You can see it in people when they have that connection, when they have that fire, when they're exploring those things. You see it, you feel it. Mm-hmm. So it's worth going there.
It is. Lawrence, I cannot thank you enough for doing this with us. You guys, this has been Lawrence Lanoff. That's Lanoff. If you can't quite tell how it's spelled, and I'll be sure to put that in the. We'll have a download here for you of the transcript so that you can get that and know who he is, and maybe visit his site and check out some of what he's doing in the universe. Thanks for, like, sharing some of your heart for human sexuality and women's opening and freedom in sexuality. I love your heart for that and the care you obviously have.
Thank you. I really do. I mean, I feel like women deserve to experience the pleasure that they are born to experience. And everything that I can do and anything I can do to to facilitate that, I want to do. The world is a better place if women are feeling self-compassion, loving, and turned on and alive. The world is a better place. That's just the reality.
What a great note to end on. You guys, this has been Claire Casey with Lawrence Lanoff, and we're so glad you had a chance to join us and listen in. And we both wish you the absolute best. Till next time, till we talk to you again. Take care, everybody.